Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Tonight I'm going to let y'all meet my extra co-host, my newest addition to the Unmasked panel, and her name is Strawberry. But first I want to thank all my listeners, the ones in Hawaii, United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, the ones in Cameroon and Nigeria, Africa, the ones in Peru and Pakistan, the ones in Singapore, France, Iraq, And the ones in Australia, thank you for supporting the sister and hanging out on a Friday evening. And our guest tonight is Angie, and she's going to talk about how she lived her life as an ex-cop in New York City, how she also was at the 2014 and 2016 Soul Train Awards, hanging out with the big dogs, and about her show, Random Acts of Kindness. So I'm going to open up everybody's mic, and before we get started, the first person that I'd like to hear from will be Felicia. I want to say hello to the audience, and then we'll get Strawberry, and then we'll pull in our guest, Angie. How you doing, Felicia?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Cool. Just wanted to say hello to everybody out there in Radio Cypher World. And thanks for hanging out, like Terry said, with us tonight, because you could be doing something else, so we just wanted to thank you for hanging out with us. We're going to have fun tonight. Let's do this.
So are. We always turn up. So it's going to be an hour that you're going to want to be a part of. And now, you know, I want to welcome everybody to our baby girl, our newest addition to Unmasked panel. How you doing, Strawberry?
I'm good, everybody. How is everybody tonight?
Everybody's fine, girl.
It's such a blessing. I swear to goodness, it's such a blessing. I'm very happy and I'm very excited to be the new addition. And I just love the welcome and I love all the love.
All right, baby girl,
you're welcome,
you're going to get it too, because around here, me and Felicia, we get it in. So, you know,
get how we need
it. Lighten up my switchboard. So, without further ado, let's bring in this beautiful, beautiful woman, phenomenal, attractive female who's doing her thing out on the West Coast. How you doing, Angie?
I am doing great. I am happy to finally be on your show, Mrs. Terry.
I know, right? We've been trying to get you here forever, and something always came up, but we got you here tonight, and the weather is good. Ain't nothing going to be dropping off, none of that. We ain't claiming none of that.
Oh.
Exactly.
All right. So, you know, I just start by, you know, we're going to get the police stuff out the way. When you were living in New York City, what prompted you to be a cop? Was it just for a job, or you just like the danger, you know?
Well, actually, ever since when I was little, you know, I like Policewoman with Angie Dickinson. You know, my name is Angie, so, you know, that kind of fit. I used to watch Miami Vice, Hill Street Blues, New York Undercover, NYPD Blue, you know, the list goes on, coming down to movies, you know, the Lethal Weapon movie, the Bad Boy movie. So I've always liked the idea of, you know, the shoot 'em up, you know, taking them down and reading them their rights.
It's that tomboy thing coming out, because all of us on this panel, man, we grew up tomboys, man. We want to kick butt and hang out with the brothers too, man.
Yeah, you know, growing up in, you know, Brooklyn, I grew up in Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy, you know, I mean, you had to be tough, and, you know, it was fun. I enjoyed it, and actually, I have a half-sister, she's the one that actually got me into it as well. Right now, she is a deputy inspector back in New York City for the police department, so, you know, I was always wanting to, like I said, you know, the adventure, the excitement, but also to, you know, being an officer that can help someone in need, you know, not to abuse the fact that, you know, I'm a cop, I have a badge, I can do what I want, you know, the bad stuff that's happening now, you know, it was really to help people.
All right, now, well, I see that Felicia got a question and so do Strawberry, so I'm going to let Felicia ask her question first and then we're going to bring in Strawberry to ask her question.
Okay.
It's a two-part question. I just wanted to know if you're still an officer, and then I wanted to get your take on all the uprising, all the uproaring that's been going on with police and black men in particular. What's your thoughts on that?
Okay, the first question? Because I heard the second. What was the first? I'm sorry.
I just wanted to know if you were still an active officer.
Oh, at this time, I'm presently not. I'm actually working on a cable show right now, trying to get everything together and working on my fifth book. But I know sometimes when I'm out at different stores, if I go into Walmart, Target, and I see someone look like they're about to steal, you know, sometimes cop mode comes in, and I'm, like, watching them, and then, you know, I would get the eye of someone that works there and say, hey, you know, this person looks like they're about to do something, about to steal, you want to keep an eye on them, you know, but other than that, no, I'm not in it no more. And the other question is what's happening right now. I think it's sick. I think it's disgusting. I hate it, you know, because, like I said, being a police officer, you know, you're supposed to be out there to help and protect, not take people's lives like that, innocent people. And it just really disgusts me of what was going on to the point that, you know, I wanted to go after these officers that was doing these crimes and take them down because it was just, you know, it was uncalled for. It's really sad. And we, you know, and we do have good officers that's out there. And the sad part about it is, you know, they're getting blamed for what's going on with these idiots that's doing, you know, the badness. And it's not their fault. It's good and bad in everything. And, you know, it just, it hurts me, you know. And I have my friends back in New York who are, like I said, police officers now. And I tell them all the time, you know, just be careful, you know, make sure you always have your vest on and, you know, let yourself be known to your neighborhoods and don't be afraid, you know, get to know the neighbors and you know, talk with them and stuff like that. But all police officers are not bad.
Well, okay, darling. Well, I see that Strawberry as well. She has a question for you, Angie.
Okay. So my question is, when you were a cop, did you ever have to go undercover? And if so, what was it like? Like, how did you feel? How were you able to turn into somebody completely different?
Never had to go undercover. I was a regular street cop, you know, uniform. But I could tell you there was an incident that was kind of funny when I had first thought I was a rookie. We had got a call, and there was a guy that was actually stealing hubcaps off a police car. He was taking it off another police car in front of a hospital, Woodhull Hospital in Brooklyn. I still remember. And, you know, I'm sitting in the back. The other two cops in the front. I'm like, are you serious? So I'm like, come on, let's go, let's go. And so it was funny because, you know, once we pulled up, he didn't see us. And so I was like, well, hold on, let me go and let me go. And they was like, no, wait a minute, hold on a second, he might got something. I'm like, so what? I don't care. Come on, let's go. And so I just dashed out of the car, you know, the back seat first. And they was like, wait a minute. And he saw me. And all of a sudden, you know, he just jumped and he was like, you know, like all of a sudden. I said, listen, I said, I'm here to talk to you, man. I said, look, what you're doing, you know, is wrong. You are going to jail, you know. But I mean, if you don't have any priors, you know, you might be out. I said, but you are going. I said, so don't try to run because I used to run track. I said, don't pull out anything. I said, because I might kick it out of your hand before you even do it. I said, just be cool. You know, we can work something out. We'll, you know, let's talk and get to know each other. I mean, I'm talking to him because I had took psychology up in college. So I'm using psychology on him while the others, you know, they grab the cuffs out and, you know, one's behind him, one's in front of him next to me. And, you know, he was just like, because he looked like he was wild, like he was about to do something. And so I, you know, got the situation under control and, you know, and they just cuffed him. And when we was taking him in, he had to sit, of course, in the back with me. So, I mean, he was very intelligent. And I just asked him, I said, what happened to you? Like, how did you get this way? And he was like, oh, life did it to me. And I said, I understand, man. I said, but you can't blame life for everything. You can always change yourself around. You sound very intelligent, like you went to school. He said he did. And I said, I mean, come on. I said, change your life around. If you got kids, do it for your kids. Yeah, I have little kids. Do it for your kids. You know, if you don't want to do it for yourself, do it for your children. And, you know, and he was happy that I was able, you know, I talked to him and stuff. And, you know, it was fun. I mean, not fun like the fact that you had to take them in. But, you know, a lot of people that's out there that's doing some, you know, some of these things, a lot of them had hard lives. But, you know, I keep telling people you can't keep blaming, you know, this for that, for the, you know, the stuff that you're doing that you know is wrong.
Because we all got a story. It is what it is. So, let me fast forward a little bit. You had this show called A Random Act of Kindness. Give us some more detail about that show and what made you decide to do that.
Okay. Well, now, as of last August, we had changed the name. It's called The Ultimate Surprise now, because there's a lot of random kindness stuff that's out there. And basically, the show is going to be about people who write into us that wants to surprise friends and family members with random kindness acts. And also, we had people write into us who's going to be a part of the show that already had did acts for, you know, random kindness acts for people. And those people who got you know, rewarded for, you know, the random kindness acts, they want to switch it around and surprise the person that actually did something for them. For example, there's a story of there's a young guy, and he was going, like, I think 2-3 times a week for dialysis. He has bad kidneys. And he's young, and one of the nurses that was there, they started to talk, and actually they hung out a couple of times, dated and stuff, and I was like, wow. And she wound up giving him one of her kidneys.
What?
And, yeah.
Oh,
she gave the guy one of her kidneys, and, you know, they're in a relationship and stuff like that, and he actually wants to propose to her.
Well,
so that's
one of pump the brakes. You said that they was hanging out and you know, got into a relationship, and that she just gave up one of her kidneys. Now, you know, Quasi's kept, you know, I don't think it was just because they was hanging out. I think the shit was good. You know what I'm saying? She kind of loved that thing. You know,
oh, my.
Keep that rub around a little longer. There ain't nobody going to be kidding with somebody. You know, I said, oh, here, take one of my organs or whatever. You know, that shit was good when they was hitting the fan in the bed. You know, Quasi's kept, but
well,
don't be with your ain't no back of kindness. That's
I mean, I didn't go into all of that. And actually, you know, I was just like, hey, you know, I mean, she just had a hard, she fell for him, you know. And so he wants to surprise her with a, you know, proposal of marriage. So that you know, when we have that tape on, that one's going to be like a real, real doozy. Everybody I know is going to start crying like, oh, my God, and all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Wow.
Well, Barbara, I got a question you want to ask you before we take our break. Well, go ahead, Strawberry. Ask your question, darling.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know it was on me. All right. So, okay, the other question I do, the other question that I do have, though, in what you're doing now, like, obviously you have this passion for it. Like, what is something that you want to do maybe 3 to 4 more years from now? Like, do you want to continue doing the same things that you're doing, or do you want to expand your horizon?
Well, like I said, right now we're working on the show and actually having a show. And once it becomes really big, I also wanted to, like, open up, like, some centers that can help battered women to get on their feet, you know, ones that have children. And, you know, they don't even have to have children to be a part of it. I want to, you know, open up some centers to help feed some of the homeless and also help them get back on their feet, help them get, you know, jobs, resumes together, you know, teaching them how to, you know, get their outfits together when it comes to interviews and helping them to go through an interview. I just want to do it all. You know, shoot, I want to be the next Oprah and probably president. Why not? Because it seems like we don't need to have education and brain skills, but I do have both to be president.
All right now. Well, ladies, we have to take a break right now, and we're going to be back in 2 and 2. Stay with us and Angie. And if you wanted to call us, call in. 347-945-6003.
Rio.
Hit the number one key. And that way,
that's
what I'm going to say.
Author is Terry E. Lyle. Has written an autobiography entitled Growth.
Yeah, I did. you know, write the book broken, but I don't know. I just had a glitch in my system. But I'm going to put my commercial right back on. Stay with us.
Real. Unparalleled. Author is Terry E. Lyle, has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a swinger. She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, CreateSpace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked each and every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for He will not leave
test this out right quick on the app. Now keep in mind that I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. So y'all be nice about it. Alright. Sisters, how y'all feel? Brothers, y'all alright? See how y'all groove too. Your cousin's way.
Everybody to Unmask. This author is Terry E. Lyle. And our guest tonight, Angie, she's an ex-New York City cop, and she had this show that was called Random Acts of Kindness, but now she changed the name. But basically, people call in and they want to do something nice for somebody. So when she gets back on the air, I want y'all to get her phone number, because I will receive anybody who want to bless me, because I don't care, you know? So, you know, tonight is the debut of my extra co-host, Strawberry. We want to welcome her aboard and make her feel welcome. But we're going to get back here with Angie real quick. And, Angie, my first question to you is, how did you jump from cops to the thing with the TV show Random Acts of Kindness?
Well, I left doing the police thing right after 9/11. And, it was a very touching day. I saw a lot of stuff that, you know, I don't think a lot of people who are in the military have seen, you know, going into war. It was just an awful experience. And I had made it up in my mind, and I told my mom that I didn't want to do it anymore, and wanted to start my life over. And, in 2002, August of 2002, that's when my oldest daughter and I had left, packed up, left New York and moved to Virginia.
Okay, well, you know, some Angie, that's when the world stopped for the United States, 9/11, because we're not used to that kind of devastation on our soil. So not just the people who live in New York, because I had a cousin, she lost a sister-in-law through marriage. You know, and it just devastated everybody. When I was at work when that was happening, when they said that the Pentagon was hit, the plane went down, and the Trade Center, I said, that's a lot. You know, everything just shut down. So I can relate. I don't know whether you're still suffering from PTSD, seeing limbs and, you know, just the horror that occurred. I mean, it's just crazy, you know. So I see that Strawberry got a hand up, and so did Felicia. I'll let Felicia go first this time. Felicia, go ahead and ask your question, darling.
I just wanted to say I commend you for the work that you did as an officer to protect and serve. And 9/11 was a traumatic situation for our country, and I can remember, and just about anybody can remember where they were when all of that took place. My question to you, though, was kind of back into your officer thing. I know we talked a little bit earlier. You said you had a little five-year-old, a boy. What would you say to parents that they, you know, what type of advice would you give parents of especially young black males? What type of advice would you give parents as a way to start talking to their children, and to make them aware of the protocol and the way they should respond and react to police officers, because it's a epidemic that we can't ignore. And as a mother of a son, it scares me every time my 21-year-old leaves the house to go to the store. So what would you give parents, what type of advice would you give parents at the house to speak just not to just the boys, but their children in general?
Okay, first, I wanted to clarify, and sorry, got mixed up with the info. I have a little five-year-old daughter. It's not a boy.
Oh,
it's a little girl. It's okay. But, it's fine. But she knows what police officers are. You know, she, and it's kind of what she's very intelligent for her age. And it's like when she sees them, she doesn't like them, like she doesn't want to go near them. And I think because of the fact that what she's seen me watch on the news, and sometimes, you know, I try to cover stuff up like that from her to see, but then again, I said, you know what, this is what's happening, and I don't want her to be shunned from it, you know. if it ever came, God forbid, hopefully not, an incident with her, you know, could be 18, 19 or whatever, and she comes up with an, you know, to an incident of an officer, you know, doing something like that to her, and she pays no mind and keeps going, and then he decides to pull out a gun on her. You know, I want her to see what's happening so she's aware.
And another thing,
you know, as she gets older, you know, I'm just going to, you know, talk to her and explain to her, you know, again, it's good and bad in everything, in every person. And don't think, you know, the one cop you do see is someone bad, and I don't want you, you know, disrespecting an officer if she sees.
You know, some Angie, for real, with all this stuff in the media and how, you know, a lot of people got killed unfairly, what we need to be teaching our children, whether it's girl or boy, that we got to respect that uniform, because that uniform is people who's there in place to help us when we need them. You know, it ain't all about somebody being killed unjustly. You know, we got to teach our kids to be respectful. And when someone in uniform approaches us, talk with respect so we can minimize the stuff that goes down. Because if we continue to feed into that shit that's happening, you know, we are continually feeding into racism. And we
exactly.
can't do that. So, because it's not about racism. It's about respect. We need the cops for when we call them for our help. You know, there's always a bad apple in the group, but if we keep feeding that fear and that kind of, you know, I ain't going to listen to them, you know, we're breaking down communication. So I'm not even going to go there. What I suggest people who listen do, teach your children how to respect the uniform. Teach them when someone of authority is talking to them, don't be back-mouthing them and being all arrogant, because sometimes that could feed into someone getting ugly because you're getting all
right.
flipped. Just respectful, and do that and just keep it moving. But I see Strawberry got a question, and after Strawberry's question, we're going to get into your show about random acts of kindness and how that works. Go ahead, Strawberry.
Okay, so I actually have two questions for you. The first question is, do you ever, you know, when you was a cop, did you ever kind of take your job personal? Like, did you ever bring that home with you as far as, like, kind of, how should I put it, like, kind of overstepping your boundary as far as your passion for your job? That's the first question. The second question is, for our young youth, if they wanted to be a police officer, what kind of advice would you have for them as far as the good and the bad, as far as in that profession?
Okay, the first question, I never did. My first ex-husband, he was actually a police officer as well, Brianna's dad. That's my oldest daughter. So it was like, you know, when it was time to come home, it was time to come home. All of that was left behind. You know, sometimes if it was, you know, he would come out and say, oh, this is what happened with me today. And I would say, really, this is what happened with me. But then afterwards, we would leave it alone because it was time for, you know, basically family time. So, you know, we tried not to bring any, you know, craziness at home.
Tell the truth, Angie.
Honestly. Let me tell you, Miss Terry. Miss Terry. Listen, Miss Terry. If I would have brought if I would have brought some of that stuff home, he would have got shot many times. I'm gonna tell you right now. He would have got shot.
Come on now, girlfriend.
No, I'm telling you, I try not to because it's dangerous. Like you said, you know, we you know, something's going to happen. You know, I would try as little as to nothing to bring. But like I can say, where I'm working now, my job, oh, yeah, I'll bring stuff home. Because there's some, you know, there's people from my job and customers that I have to deal with. It's just like, I'll sometimes bring that home, but I try not to. But, you know, when there's the officer, not really. I honestly can say I tried not to as much as possible. I wouldn't lie to you
about the time when you and him was kind of like, you know, separated, and he kind of like pissed you off, and you wouldn't know what he was doing. And as a cop that you were at the time, you took your little spare key and went into his house, and all hit the fan. Remember, darling?
That I went to whose house?
your baby daddy's house. Remember we were talking back in the day?
Oh,
and you
no.
said,
no,
damn,
no, it wasn't him. It's the second. Oh, you bringing up a Jerry Springer incident. That's the second husband. That's when I'm not. Yeah, see, that's different. See, she's talking about when I was, this was back when I was an officer. I had stopped that in 2001, like going into 2002. I got remarried in 2011. That's the other husband. That's the one I did the detective police work. But she was saying back then that I ever bring it home. Not, you know, when I was with the other husband.
When you was wigging out.
Well, actually,
that's
I can say in both
you was,
categories.
You said Jerry Springer episode, okay?
Yeah. Now, when I was with the second husband, oh yeah, you know, but like I said, I wasn't a cop then, you know. So yeah, I'm gonna always, you know, I will always, if I find out even a friend, if I find out something that, you know, something that don't look right or seem right or. Oh, I'm going to do my investigation. And then when I do and I find out, I mean, if you're telling me blah, blah, this, and you want me to believe you and I, you know, I give you the benefit of the doubt and I find out elsewise, I'm done with you. It's a wrap.
Right, well, let me borrow those tools you use to pick the lock. You know, let me borrow them.
I mean, yeah, I'm a good lock picker. I mean, but see, I mean, some of them skills might come in later down the road. You know, if I decide to become president of the United States, you know, we could say that.
I ain't mad at you. I'm just fucking with you, but I ain't mad at you. Do what you got to do.
But to answer the second question about, you know, what would I tell the youth today who decided they want to be one, I would tell them to go for it and don't be afraid and don't listen to anybody that will tell you, oh, no, don't do it because everybody will hit you or you're a target. I feel that we're more targets than anybody because, number one, you see a cop walking down the street and someone has a gun and he's about to do something, he's not going to pull out that gun and start shooting at that cop because he knows that, you know, 9 out of 10, that cop might be faster than him and he's going to be taken out before the cop. We're more targets than anything because we're just regular, normal people walking in the street. You know, you could be coming out of a supermarket with your purse late at night. And, you know, somebody's going to grab you. They're not going to mess with a police officer, you know. And the other thing, like I told my friends back in New York, get to know your neighborhood. Get to know the people. Get to know them by name. That's what I used to do. You know, let them know that you care. Let them know that you're not here to hurt them in any way. Let them know that you're here to help them. And I feel when you do it that way, most people, even the baddest of the, I don't care if he's a drug dealer or what, they will have so much respect for you. Like, I've never had an issue with anybody. And I grew up in a neighborhood where friends of mine, you know, they used to sell drugs. They used to do stuff. And I used to be like, look, you know, I know what you do. I don't care. Just don't do it in front of me and disrespect me.
Amen.
You
well,
know.
We got to move you train along a little bit. Tell us about how you lucked up, how you got the connections to be at the 2014 and 2016 Soul Train Awards. Who do you know, and how did you get up there to be a, you know, somebody who out there asking the questions and stuff? How did you get there?
Okay, well, actually, I, besides trying to have the show and besides being an author, I'm also a freelance writer for Fusions Magazine. So I want to give a shout-out real quick. Hey, Shanova. That's she's the CEO of Fusions Magazine, and she's the one that actually hired me to do the red carpet event interviews at the Soul Train Awards, which, I mean, I just have a blast at it. It's so much fun.
So did you get any phone numbers?
Actually, I don't want to call this man out, but I just recently, after Valentine's Day, got someone's number, and I'm, you know, we talked back and forth, and I could all I could say is he's a good R&B singer, he used to be a part of Bad Boy Entertainment, and I'm gonna leave it at that.
Somebody,
I'm gonna leave it at that. And if y'all know, don't say the name. Don't say the name.
Okay, but whatever. You even call me after the show is over, and I'll see if they can help my mission along a little further. You know, because a lot of people are connected with different people, so that's all good. But tell us about that show you do. You call it a different name. It used to be called Random Acts of Kindness. What is it called now?
The Ultimate Surprise.
Tell us about that in more detail. And
Okay. So as I was saying, you know, it's still in production right now. Basically, we are looking for random kindness acts. So all across the states. So if you, let's say, again, for an example, wanted to surprise somebody, maybe it could be your next door neighbor could have just lost their job. And, you know, you and the neighbors get together and you decided to buy some groceries and paid a month or two months rent. You know, those people would call me, tell me what they want to do, and then we would have a live crew, you know, filming the whole thing, and then, you know, presenting it and basically showing the clips in the studio.
Even if you're in another state, y'all would come to the East Coast?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Well, you can put
it's
going to
be good.
I'm always doing something. Okay, but at least you got your time to give out your question, darling.
I was wondering, when is the show going to air?
Right now, I'm still in talks with a couple of big major networks. I'm just trying to see, you know, who shares and who wants it and what type of money are we talking about. And that should be done. Okay, we just got into March. Hopefully, I'm crossing my fingers, between April and May, everything should be done with in that department. And because we're actually shooting for the fall season.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Cool. That's cool. Congratulations on that.
Thank
What's
you.
What's up, darling? Jump in there for your question.
Well, I have a question, actually. With this airing soon, do you plan on actually expanding that, like kind of having more people come and join your craft?
Oh, actually, yeah. Like, are you saying, like, meaning like to have like a co-host and like people from other states? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's how I kind of had it planned. Now, I would have to see what the networks are going to say, but what I wanted to do, I wanted to have, like, a correspondent from the East Coast and, like, have one Central Standard Time, because that's how we're going to get the, you know, the filming part. They would be the ones actually doing the filming. So, you know, they would go up, knock on the door of the person and say, hi, you know, we're here, and, you know, and say, okay, where's that person that you want to surprise? And they say, okay, we're going to go to the house now. So then they all jump in the car, and, you know, they're traveling, and I'm actually watching it, you know, through my teleprompter at the studio. The audience, we're watching it. So we're, like, smiling, like, okay, let us know when you get there. And then once they get there, you know, they're knocking the door, and they do whatever the surprise is for that person. Or they can show up at the person's job. Or, how, like I said, however, you know, wherever it is, you know, they could be a school teacher, they could be a doctor, however, you know, they would show up to the person place and, you know, do the surprise. So, yeah, we're going to actually have people from different parts of the world, like I said, East Coast, Central Standard Time. I'm on the, you know, the West Coast, so I got that covered. And I wanted to actually get big to the point that it'll be in other countries as well.
Well, you know, all jokes aside, I have a wonderful guy, a video photographer, and I can lock up this side of the world, you know, and be a part of that. So when you get that all worked out and the fee and everything, you know, I got your back, man, and I can show you some work. Guy's good. Just check out my video, Exposed, man. He's phenomenal. But anyway, tell us, when you left, being a cop, and you ventured from New York. What brought you to the West Coast?
Oh, well, like I said, afterwards I was in Virginia for 14 years. And so from Virginia, I picked coming out here because I wanted to get closer to California, number one, because I was doing some stuff for Deidre Wayans. That's the sister of Marlon, Sean, Damon, Keenan. We're, like, really close friends. She's, like, my big sister. And they were saying, you know, that the studio we'd be filming at will be in L.A. So it was best to be out here versus in Virginia. And Virginia kind of got boring to me afterwards. So I just had to leave.
Yeah, I'm from 13. And I love California, but, you know, California got me all caught up living a wild side of my lifestyle, you know. So I'm glad I'm back, you know, more grounded. But, Felicia, I see that you got your hand up, darling.
It's a whole lot that goes into that sounds like when you start talking about production and things like that. And you said that you're going to be, like, at the studio. So would it be, like, a thing kind of like where they be going back and forth? You guys, you kind of, like, narrating the whole situation as it's taking place.
Yeah. Like, some of the stories we'll already have filmed. So, like, if you've ever seen the episode, like, how America's Home Funny Videos, he's in the studio and he's talking to the audience and then they show a clip.
Mm-hmm.
It's going
right.
to kind of be like that. And
okay.
when we have the other people from the, like, you know, the other parts, like, you know, Central and East Coast, that segment part is going to be called Word on the Street. And so
okay.
with Word on the Street, that's when, you know, I would say, okay, my correspondent Strawberry is out in Chicago. But hey, Strawberry, what you got going on, girl? And then you'd be like, hey. And then you would jump in and say, I have, you know, I'm here with, you know, state your name. And it's like, he wants to go in and he wants to surprise his wife, you know, with a vacation. They never, you know, was able to afford one, you know, when they first got married. And he wants to do something now for her, and she works all the time, and, you know, and he loves her so much. And then, you know, I'm like, okay, so let's do it. Where is she? And then he'll be like, well, she's at work right now, so this we're standing in front of her job. We're going to go in right now. And then so, you know, he can have someone else help him with that as well. Like, he can have a guy could go in with some flowers, and then they can have, like, a card or something, or can have, like, a magician, however they want to do it. You know, like to be around the wife and saying, oh, I got a telegram or something like that, and or throw some lays over her neck if it's a Hawaii trip, you know. And I know she'll be looking like, you know, what the heck? Like, we want to make sure that these people do not know what's going on. If you're going to really surprise somebody, don't say, oh, we're going to surprise you. Look excited, because it's going to be fake and phony. We want the real expressions and emotions from these people. So I tell everybody, whatever, you know, we pick your story, we want it to be, I mean, very authentic. I do not want no fake, phony stuff, because it's going to show, and I'm going to get very angry, and then Brooklyn might come out. So, you know what I'm saying?
Well, Brooklyn on the wrap, darling. And Strawberry, I see that you got a question as well, babe. Go ahead and ask your question, because we're winding down. We got about 10 more minutes on the feed.
Well, actually, what really inspired you to do what you do? Like, what really made you just be like, you know what, this is what I want to do, this is my calling? Like, what really inspired you? What is your passion behind everything?
Okay, well, I'll tell you, ever since I was 5, 6, 7 years old, I swear it to you guys, like, I've always wanted to be someone like a helper, a giver. And I've always, you know, I would see friends of mine back home, you know, that growing up they didn't have much. And I used to tell my mom, you know, I want to give some of my clothes away. I want to give some of my shoes. You know, they need some help. And so this, you know, ever since I was little. And I could be in a supermarket, and this is before, you know, the calling came for me to try to do a show. I would be in a supermarket, and I would see people, you know, with their groceries, and maybe they didn't have enough money for their stuff. And then they had some, you know, they stand there and they're like, oh, man. And, you know, they got to put some stuff away. And I would be like, no, 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 go ahead, ring that up. And people looking like, what? You know, and I said, ring it up. I'm going to pay for it. Like, just go ahead, just I'll pay for it. And, you know, they're looking around like, am I getting set up? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, no, I just want to do it. And they would say, why? I said, because I wanted to help you. And they would go, why me? And I said, you know, I would have did this for whoever. You know, I just like to see people happy. I want to see people with smiles on their faces. My job now, I do have a regular job at the resorts. And, you know, some of the people, I don't even know all of them, but I cook a lot. I love to cook. And, you know, I just feed everybody. And they're like, you know, people got money. They work just like you do. You know, they can buy their own stuff. And I said, yeah, I know that. But, you know, I do things from the heart, not for something in return. And so I'll cook big dinners and bring it up there, lasagna, burritos. You know, I'll just make stuff. And I just love to see people happy. I like to make people happy. And sometimes it could get scary because my mom used to always say you got to make yourself happy first before others. But me making others happy makes me happy. It's hard to describe. But
I understand it.
You're just a good person. You're just a good person. That's all.
I understand that.
That's wonderful. And, you know, I have also did that before when I've been in behind somebody in the line and they didn't have enough money. And I'll tell her, you know, the cashier, I got it, you know, because it's good when you do something for somebody else. It makes you feel good on the inside. Even though they're, you know, appreciative, you feel good as well when you're helping someone for no reason, just because. So now we have gotten down to our show, and our time is running out. Angie, is there anyone that you would like to give a personal shout-out to before we wind it up, and then we're all going to get up out of here?
Okay. Yeah, there's a couple of people. I want to shout out first God, because without God, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. I want to shout out my parents and my brother in heaven. I want to shout out my two beautiful daughters, Brianna and Demetria. I want to shout out to all my friends back in Brooklyn that I grew up with in Prospect Place, all my friends back in Virginia. I also want to give a shout out to my friends here in Vegas, Samantha, Losi, T, Evora. And I also want to give a big shout out to Carl Thomas, and I'm going to leave it at that.
All right.
Oh boy, there you go. We got it.
Since you're brand new as a co-host on the Unmasked panel, is there someone you'd like to give a shout out to, darling?
Well, I like to give a shout out to Chris Hill. I like to give a shout out to Robin Summerford, the Don't Read Me, Read a Book book club sisters, Ashley Jackson, my homegirl. And I also like to give a shout out to Kenya Rivers, India Northley, and my mentor Cedric Lewis.
Amen. And now my beautiful on-time co-host Felicia. Shout out to baby.
It's not really a shout out, but I did want to ask the young lady another question. Now, I have a son. Real quick, Terry, I have to do this. My son is very, very talented. He's a very, very talented artist, but it's been kind of hard to get him to, you know, kind of out here. But he has a really big following. I mean, like, even in Dubai and places like that, he has almost 50,000 followers on Instagram. And I heard you shout out Mr. Thomas, and people always looking for a way. If somebody want to get rich, all they need to do is hear my son. All he needs is the right person to hear him. I guarantee they will pick him up. If I could get your contact information and we could talk a little bit further about it, I wouldn't waste your time if I didn't think it was worth it. My son just did a sold-out show here in the area. We live in Maryland, so not far from where you were in Virginia. So it's kind of in the DMV. It's a little bit tougher because nobody likes it. But my son is ridiculous. He's going to be a superstar. He's already a superstar. He can barely go anywhere in this area. But I want to get your information so I can see if maybe we can make a connection so you can kind of just really hear what I'm talking about.
You know what? It's already done. It's already done. We go. I'm gonna give you my info, and also I would like to do an interview for him on for Fusions Magazine.
Okay, absolutely. I really appreciate that. Terry can vouch for this, but I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. He is. I keep dreaming about him making it. People keep saying he's so successful. I need to really find a connect, and that's really important. If it was not worth your time, I promise you I wouldn't have said anything. And it's not
my
son.
I believe
he's talented. Very talented. When we go off the air, I'm going to stay on. I guess I don't know how we're going to do this so that I can continue to talk to you.
No. You're going to hang up. I'll give you her phone number.
Okay. Give her my phone number. Yeah, and have her call me right back ASAP. I'm still sitting.
We'll do. We'll do. So I'm giving my shout out to you.
We're running out of time. We got 5 minutes.
And shout out to you, Terry. I'm giving everybody. That's my shout out. Shout out to everybody that joined us tonight. And that's it. My love. One love. Let's keep it moving.
Amen. And so, you know, I just want to say hello to everyone who's tuning in for the first time. And I want to give a shout out as well to Kelly Moore in Nebraska. I want to give a shout out to Halsey and Audrey in Baltimore, Maryland. And, you know, I want to give a shout out to my friend Asher, Pakistan. That's where that weird number is coming from. How y'all doing over there? And I know it must be daytime because it's almost turning nighttime here. So, anyway, thank you, Angie, for being on the show. You know, you can always come back, and I will talk to you after you go off, but you can take this MP3 of the show and put it wherever you like, darling. And we so appreciate you on Unmasked, so you know you can always come back and tell us about the different things that's going on in your life. So we're going to take it home with Fantasia, The Truth Is. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Friend yesterday told me by surprise when he called my name. He was a familiar face from a chapter in my past. Talked for a while, like some hours spent. Said that he was seeing my day. Told me this was gonna last, showing me her photograph. And all the feelings that I thought were gone came rushing back to me. Tried to smile and not the way I felt, but I was thinking to myself, I never got over you. Wish I was standing in your shoes. And when it's all said and done, guess I'm still in love with you. Truth is, I never should have let you go. And it's killing me 'cause now I know. When it's all said and done, guess I'm still in love with you. Reminisce on the way things used to be. Shed a couple laughs and some memories. Talked about the things you changed, some for good and some for bad. Then he said goodbye and he paid the punch. Promised that we'd always keep in touch. Grabbed my back and grabbed my thoughts. Walked away and that was that. And all the feelings that I thought were gone came rushing back to me at once. Tried to smile and hide the way I felt, but I was speaking to myself. I never got over you. Wish I was standing in her shoes. And when it's all said and done, I'm still in love with you. Truth is, I never should have let you go. And it's killing me 'cause now I know. Smile.